When he saw Mildred, he waved an urgent hand, motioning for the woman to get inside under cover. Even Mildred was experienced enough to recognize the distinctive noise of a black powder musket being discharged. She drew her revolver. JB was closing fast. He glanced behind as he ran, but the ridge that closed the Box Canyon from the rest of the forest was still deserted. There was no other way that anyone could come at them.
Got you covered, John!
JB was out of breath when he dove in through the narrow doorway into the coolness of the building. He sat, breathing hard, took off his spectacles, and wiped them slowly.
Still nobody?
Not a sight nor sound. Think it could be Jack or Christina?
Nah. That was a newsie. Certain sure. Whatever it is, won't be real good news. I can promise you that, Mildred.
We stay here?
No place else I'd rather be.
Time passed. The livestock had resumed its grazing, and birds had come back to the canyon. Mildred and JB had eaten a snatched meal of potato salad and jerked beef, with water from the spring at the side of the ruins. It was about 2 hours after the burst of automatic fire that JB spotted someone moving, a slight figure, darting elusively among the trees.
It's Jack!
It took less than 5 minutes to hear the whole story. Another 2 minutes to decide that Mildred should go back at her best speed to warn the others, while JB and Jack started to try to pick up the trail of the Stickies and their prisoners. One of the things that Life in Deathlands had taught Ryan Cotter was to always try to look for the positive factors in any situation. He and Christy had been allowed to get dressed again, but their hands had been tied behind their backs with a brutal efficiency. The best thing to weigh in the balance was the fact that they were both still alive and relatively uninjured. The blood from the torn skin on Ryan's left arm had been seeping to such an extent that Charlie had eventually ordered a stop and had it bandaged with a strip of material torn from a shirt. The pair wasn't entirely without a weapon. Ryan had casually draped his white silk scarf around his neck as he finished dressing, and none of the Stickies had made a move to take it away from him. No one had noticed that both ends were weighted, making it into a lethally effective garrote. As Ryan and Christy stumbled on, the barrels of the muskets jabbing them in the small of the back, Ryan tried hard to tick off some more positive factors about their position. Jack was alive, and he'd quickly get news of their predicament to JB and Mildred. The armorer would send Mildred down the trail to Christina, Doc, and Dean, and bring them back at double time. And JB and Jack would be coming after them. After that, Ryan ran out of good things to think about. Stickies were notorious for having great physical stamina, and this group was no exception. They pushed westward, up a snaking trail that crossed over a bare crest of sun-baked rock, pausing briefly by a stream that dashed itself down a wall of undercut stone, falling in a rainbow spray. Ryan and Christy stood below it, faces upturned, drinking the icy water. Both took care not to take in too much. During the late afternoon, they stopped again by a rotting wooden bridge with rusted supports.
Sit over there. You get some jerky.
Is it much farther?
That's for us to know and you to find out, Cotter.
Charlie wandered off and sat with his men, joining them in a detailed investigation of the weapons that they'd captured. Ryan's pistol caused the most interest to the group. Charlie turned with the blaster in his hand.
What can you tell us about my new blaster, Cotter?
What do you want to know?
Everything.
Model P226, 9mm 6-hour.
Mm-hmm, 15 rounds.
Push-button mag release. Baffle silencer is built in, but it's getting past its best now. It weighs a touch over 25.5 ounces. Overall length's a little under 8 inches. Barrel close on 4.5 inches long. Anything else you want to know?
You know your blaster, Cotter. Heard word of you over the years. You kept rising to the surface like a dead fish. All over the Deathlands. I knew our paths would cross one day. Knew it. And I was right.
Ryan didn't reply, and Charlie turned back to his men.
If I used the power, I could easily break the cords. Then I could free you.
We'd both be dead. Have to wait, lover. If they leave us tonight or at their camp, maybe risk it then. You know that using your power leaves you drained for hours.
You might make it.
Forget it.
There was a long silence between them. One of the Stickies brought a handful of the dried meat and dropped it in the dirt, giggling as they had to roll on their stomachs to gnaw at it. After he'd rejoined the others, Christy spoke quietly.
Jack and JB must be after us.
It'll be difficult.
What?
It'll be difficult to track us. The skinny bastard is good. Taking us a quarter mile or more over bare rock. Won't leave much of a trail. Crossed the same stream 3 or 4 times. Walked along through the water for a ways. I figured that they'll have a triple hard time trying to follow us. And they'll be real slow, having to keep backtracking and checking all the time. No way they'll move as fast as us.
But they'll find us in the end.
Of course they will.
Once more, lover. With conviction.
Fireblast. Odds are they'll find us. But it could be way too late.
Mildred poured a pitcher of water over her head, dropping to hands and knees, exhausted by the run back to the main camp. Dean was already pacing nervously around, eager to start off in pursuit of the Stickies that had taken his father. Christina had merely nodded as the black woman panted out her story, sitting and waiting patiently until she'd finished.
Knew this would happen. Soon as Ryan Cotter came back here, things were good until then.
Doc had been leaning silently against the trunk of a sun-warmed spruce, shaking his head at the gravity of the news. But at Christina's anger, he stood, stamping the ferrule of his lion-headed cane in the dirt.
Forgive me, my dear, but I fear that your concern has made you less than fair.
What?
I concede that your life with the young man has been one that has paralleled Shangri-La itself, but you can hardly blame Ryan for the misfortunes that have struck in the past couple of weeks.
Oh, yeah? Wrong, Doc. I can blame him. Just watch me.
These Stickies did not come to New Mexico to hunt down Ryan, did they?
Christina looked at the ground, moving the surgical boot she wore against a tiny yellow and white flower.
Things were good with Jack and me until he came again.
And they'll be good again.
Ryan Cotter. Jack thinks he's like something between an angel of death and a substitute father. Best thing the good Lord made since he invented the chambered revolver.
Dad does good.
Sure. Count the men he's chilled good. Women he's widowed good. Little ones that he's orphaned real good. Houses burned good.
Allow me to remind you of the somewhat subjective nature of your little speech, Miss Ballinger. Or Mrs. Lauren. Cast your mind back to your life with your sweet-natured father and your fine brothers.
All right, Doc. All right.
Ryan chilled them good. Liberated you good. Risked his life good. And in the time I've had the honor of knowing him, he has done a very great deal that is undeniably good.
You're right and I'm not. But I'm pregnant and you're not, and my husband might come back dead.
We'll all go together, my dear.
Sure. Yeah, sure.
Even after spending the better part of the day with them, Ryan still found it hard to reconcile himself to the idea of there being intelligent, capable, organized Stickies. The sun was setting, and they'd covered about 15 miles over tough terrain, and Charlie had constantly been taking precautions to ensure that any pursuit would be slow and laborious. Again and again they would detour to walk over exposed granite, avoiding the softer paths. Each time they came to water, they would deliberately try to pick their way along the center, sometimes altering the direction they were moving in to ensure that anyone trailing them would waste a lot of time. Once Ryan pretended to stumble, hoping to leave some clue for Jack and JB. Charlie took him by the arm, gripping him by the elbow, suckered fingers digging in with frightening power.
Try that again, Cotter. And I'll use my hands on the woman's breasts. Think they'd look as good without any skin?
They passed a large open space, with light gravel partly covered with thimbleberry bushes and sagebrush. Beyond that was another, much more substantial ruin, the windows missing, dark marks of smeared carbon showing that it had also been ravaged long ago by a ferocious fire.
It was called a visitor center.
Seen them in the old wilderness parks.
The last dying daggers of crimson sunlight bounced across from the high sandstone cliffs opposite, reflecting from the dangling golden medallion on the hairless chest of the leader of the Stickies. Christy had moved a few steps away from Ryan, shepherded by the guards, leaving him alone with the skeletally tall mutie.
What happens now?
We go to the houses.
Then?
Meet the rest of the community.
Come on.
What?
Fireblast, you know what I'm talking about, Charlie.
There'll be eats for all.
When do we get chilled?
Ah, I get your drift now, Cotter. Good question.
Real good.
The toothless mouth was stretched in a beaming God bless you smile, the protruding eyes half closed in delight. The Sticky's whole body was tense.